نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني ادم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا انه لا يحب المسرفين قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون صدق الله العظيم. A little while ago you came across this ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, O you children of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, khuzu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. To give you an explanation of this is that the kuffar of Makkah, they had made many things haram upon themselves. Or the Yahudis, the Yahud, the Nasara, and many others. What they did is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made halal, many of those things they made haram upon themselves. And what Allah Ta'ala made haram, they made it halal upon themselves. For example, the Quraysh of Makkah, they considered themselves to be the elite. And therefore, only they were allowed to make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif in their normal clothes. Only they could make the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif in their clothes. And for the others, they said, you have committed a lot of sins in those clothes, so it's not permissible for you to make tawaf in those clothes. So they had to make tawaf in a naked state. Now imagine making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif in that state. The women folk used to go in the darkness of the night, and the men folk used to make it in the mornings. Now this was their understanding. So now something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made halal, which was to wear clothes and make tawaf, they made it haram upon themselves. And when they were asked that why do you do these type of silly things, so they said, no, we saw our forefathers doing it. Because our forefathers did this, therefore we are doing the same thing. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, of course there's a long history, but there is no time for all those details, but this was the general pattern, that which Allah Ta'ala make halal, many of those things they make haram, and that which Allah makes haram, they make halal. So Allah Ta'ala says, khuzu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Now here zinat is referred to as the adornment with your clothes. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, and here masjid refers to sajda. And sajda is a part of namaz. So if sajda is a part of namaz, then ruku, qiyam, everything is part of salat. So when you are making your salat, when you are making your prayers, then we are told that we must wear our apparel, our clothes, which are decent, which are dignified, which has zinat in it. We should not treat our salat and our namaz as just a plaything. Allah Ta'ala says, khuzu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. From this we learn that Allah Ta'ala, in His wisdom, He made certain things compulsory and He prohibited certain things. As far as the satar is concerned in salat, Nabi alayhi salat wa salam has informed us, and all the jurists, they have discussed it in various chapters of jurisprudence and fiqh about satre aurat, that what is the necessary covering for salat purposes. So for salat purposes, the necessary covering is from the navel to the knee. We all know that. That from the navel to the knee, if a person covers his body and he makes his salat, then that salat is valid. But now that does not mean that a person should only cover from the navel to the knee and make his salat. Those people who find objection to the wearing of the hat, for example, or wearing long sleeve shirts, or wearing decent, dignified clothing for salat, then they should make amal on the same ayah, on the same rule of Sharia, that it is only necessary to cover from the navel to the knee. Now, will any person in his true senses be happy to make his namaz behind an imam who just wears clothes from the navel to the knee and then announces that that's all his wajib, so therefore I'm following that with his wajib and farz? Nobody will appoint such an imam. Or if tomorrow we have our first saf here, everybody from navel to the knee covering, what would we think of all those people? And if they have to say, no, we're making amal on that which is wajib, compulsory, that's all. So common sense will tell us that that is the bare necessity. That much is essential. And we can't understand these things, these masail, we can't understand because we've got plenty of sets of clothing. We can change one every day. But go to those areas in Somalia, in Burma, in Afghanistan at present, in many areas, in so many parts of the world, in Africa, in so many parts of Africa, there are so many times that the person just does not have enough clothing to make namaz. About the only thing they can do sometimes is tie a sack around their waist and make salat. That's when we appreciate what the fuqaha and the jurists have explained to us as to what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnat. I have seen with my own eyes in Nairobi. So therefore, we should understand everything in its proper context. So that is what is farz. But then there is a certain thing which we term as dignity of salat. That when the person is going for salat to the masjid, then his clothes must be dignified. Many a times the person will wear such kind of clothing in the masjid which he will never wear and go to his mother-in-law's house. So the clothes that you wear in the masjid, we are standing in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Even if there is nobody that is watching, even if the person is in his own home and he is making his salat, then he must make salat in those clothes in which he will not feel ashamed to go and meet a dignified person. If at that time that he is making salat, if the phone call comes from the Prime Minister or from the President of the country or from the mayor of the city, and they say that I'm sending my Rolls Royce now to pick you up because there is a function where we are going to have dinner and you will also have to deliver a small speech there. Now at that time, will the person wear his pajamas and go there? At that time, will he wear those jeans, some of which it seems as if some cow has been licking the back of that jean? So those type of clothes, or those type of gaudy shirts with all kinds of writings on it, and we just go away to the masjid and Allahu Akbar, front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and yet we won't wear those things and go and meet a person whom we consider to be a very dignified person, the person of some authority, person of some power, some position. But in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, absolutely no concern. So one is what is farz, wajib, that is compulsory, that a person has to cover. But besides that, the rest of the body has to be covered, and the person should wear those type of clothes which are dignified. Then again, in those clothes that the person wears and stands before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there must be no sign of arrogance. Those clothes also must be such that humility is expressed by the wearing of such clothes. You can wear very, very expensive clothes. If a person can afford it, it is not haram. There is an ayat that's coming after that. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. But here what we are talking about is that if those clothes are a resemblance of the kuffar or the mushrikeen, or if a person is by means of those clothes recognized as a member of a certain club or certain association or certain gang or certain society which rejects Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or which indulges in open sin and transgression, then such type of clothes should also be avoided. We are not talking about jais, najais. There are certain things which are permissible. We are not saying that it is compulsory, it is 100% farz or wajib that you must wear kurta. I am not saying that. The libas should be the libas of the saliheen. Nobody can claim in these days that the kurta that he is wearing is exactly that which Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore. Can any one of us say that this is the type of kurta that he wore? Can anybody say that this is the type of kurta that the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum wore? Or can anybody claim that this is the type of kurtas that the Tabi'in or the Tabi Tabi'in wore? If you have to look at the style of the buttons, if you have to look at the style of the sleeves, if you have to look at the style of the sewing, it will definitely be different. It's not exactly like that. So therefore, those who say that this is the libas of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they must be a little careful. Yes, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam wore kurta. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam purchased one shalwar, but he did not get the opportunity of wearing it. But when he was questioned that, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasalam, will you wear this shalwar? He said, yes, I will wear it. Fi safari wal hazar. In my safar, and when I am at home also, I will wear it. Fi layli wal nahar. Day and night. Why? He said, because I find it to be the most protective with regards to the satar. That if you wear that kind of pajamas or that kind of shalwar, it will be more protective. So that is the principle that he laid down. So there will be those little differences. Therefore, what we say must be the libas of the saliheen. That means in your time or in the times until the day of Qiyamah, you will look at the saliheen. That those whom we consider as righteous and pious servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what kind of libas do they wear? Then we should wear that kind of libas, because that kind of clothes, because it will differentiate us, it will identify us. In these days there's so much of talk of identity, Islamic identity, we must have our Islamic identity. But how are we going to identify that Muslim who has got a clean shaven face and his clothes are also of the film actors or the actresses, what they wear? Absolutely no sign of Islam, then where are you going to look for identity? So the libas of the saliheen, that is what we should try and adopt. And it's comfortable also. The libas of the saliheen will be comfortable. We have got no right to think of ourselves as righteous and pious and muttaqi, people of zuhad and taqwa. With our little bit of namaz, roza, zakat, hajj and tilawat and zikr and ibadat, we should not consider ourselves as the saliheen, of the saliheen. But in our country, in the world, people of taqwa, people of piety, people who have got their hearts filled with the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is a certain kind of libas that they wear, clothes that they wear. And it's not that in winter also they wear the same thing, in summer they wear the same thing. Nothing. They also experience cold, they experience heat. So summertime they're wearing something else, wintertime they're wearing something else. But generally that kind of libas, which the saliheen, the righteous and the pious wear, then that should be our guideline. For work purposes, sometimes a person has to go to work and he has to wear a certain kind of clothes. And sometimes it's necessary to have a coat, sometimes it's necessary to have gum boots, and sometimes it's necessary to have some other kind of clothes because of the working conditions. Now those things are necessary, it's essential. The person is going to work, he must work. But immediately after that, he should try to get into the libas and into the clothing of those who are the saliheen and the righteous. Because that will start having an effect on the inside too. Slowly, slowly it will definitely start having an effect on the inside. Because whatever you wear outside begins to have an effect on the inside. The person who imitates in his libas, in his dressing, those film actors, then his walk, his talk, his style, everything is just like that. When he's walking also, he's dancing away. When he's talking, he's singing away. Or he's swearing away. So the outward also has an effect on the inside. So many people, it is just their libas, their clothes, which is preventing them from entering those cinemas, theatres and casinos. Otherwise, shaitan and nafs is so forceful behind them, that if it is not for this libas, he will go away inside. Ask ourselves that question. Many a times it's just our dressing that brings that shame in our hearts, that I must not be seen here or I must not be seen there. So it is one way also of protecting oneself from the fitnas that are around. InshaAllah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, we will continue with this ayat tomorrow.